Hey, hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast with your favorite host, Brandon Lynette. I just want to say thank you again for your patience on my hiatus last week. I had some healing to do, recovery and healing. We'll call it that. Okay. I can't be very specific because other people were involved in the situation and it was hurtful, and I just don't want to be disrespectful in this moment. I think with time, it might be something I can, bring out, but I know the people that I hurt do listen, and they're my kids. They hear me record. They, it was just weird. It was a weird week, and it's definitely a great podcast episode because I've had to go through a process of forgiving myself last week. Or the last episode I had for you guys was, forgive other people. Forgiveness is defined as a deliberate decision to let go of feelings of anger, resentment, retribution towards someone you believe has wronged you. And it's easy for us to be quite generous when we are forgiving other people that we love, like people that we genuinely love that we need to forgive. Okay. We're pretty generous with that. But when it comes to ourselves, not so much. Everybody makes mistakes, but learning how to learn from them, let go, move on, and forgive yourself, it's super important for not just mental health, but your well-being. It's beneficial. And I want to talk about some of the steps that I had to use this week to kind of process this, okay? Because I really did hit rock bottom in my relationship with myself. I feel like I took, several years of healing and just threw it away, but I'm going to be honest, self-forgiveness is not about letting yourself off the hook, and it's not a sign of weakness, okay? The act of forgiveness, whether you're forgiving yourself or someone who has wronged you, it doesn't suggest that you're condoning the behavior. Okay. So it's really important that when you are going through the process of forgiveness, especially when it comes to yourself, is that you have to understand your emotions. And then you've got to accept responsibility for what happened 100%. One of the things I really struggle with, it's very important when you're looking at the steps to self-forgiveness, is to treat yourself with kindness and compassion. I didn't feel like I deserved to feel good last week. I ended up on my knees, and I needed to be there. I needed to be there. I need to keep growing into God. I've made so many mistakes and I went looking for fulfillment in all the wrong places, deep diving into, energy cards, tarot cards, like all of those things I was doing. I was doing this with my clients. Tapping into just even Reiki healing, which I think there is still a level of energy healing when you are someone who has God with you. I think that you're just a vibrant light of, of love and healing and compassion and forgiveness. Like people are drawn to me the closer I am to God. And I really went far away from that. Okay. Checking out my horoscopes all the time and just going down this whole field of things that were not my business. And this kind of brought all of that back up of like, I've never really looked at the mistakes I was making, not just with that, but in my personal life. I never really looked at the impact it was having on the people closest to me. And so I was like, you don't deserve to feel good. And, I didn't let myself feel good. And I, had to unplug and come into my own, just kind of leaning into my husband. It's misery loves company. And we kind of took ourselves down a dark road for a second. And I'm happy to say that we snapped the fuck out of it. Okay. You've got to express remorse for your mistakes. We have done that. Okay. Make amends and apologize. And that means apologizing to yourself. I have since told myself how sorry I was. I went through the process of beating myself up like, you're so stupid. Why weren't you thinking? I did all of that. But then I had to apologize for myself. And then I had to look for ways to learn from the experience. So once you get on the other side of things, you can actually look back and focus on, what the lesson is. learn from the experience. I knew I shouldn't have done what I did. That's at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. I knew that. So the lesson is, next time I know that, just pump the brakes, sister, right? You got to focus on making better choices in the future. So those are the steps that I think are really important. Let's dive into them just a little bit here. What does it mean when I say understand your emotions? Okay. You have got to become aware of the emotions you're experiencing. Okay. Notice I said become aware of. I didn't say become your emotions. I wasn't like go off the deep end, go ham. This entire time, I was very aware of my emotions and I kind of let them just do their thing. And it is Monday. I totally forgot about sharing microdosing. So we're going to throw that in because I'm going to tell you, because of microdosing in my life, when this stuff all came up, I could not hide from it. Okay. When these feelings came to surface, I didn't even have a desire to hide from it. And there was no longing to continue to bury it and ignore it and deny it. It was just right there in front of my face. And I had a whole different level of awareness with my emotions. That is very important to have. And I think microdosing has really done that for me. It's brought in that awareness so that I can acknowledge my emotions. So many people are sick and fucked up and depressed and anxious and all these things because you're trapping emotions in your body. You're not letting your body feel them. You're not letting your mind and your heart process. Mind and your heart have to be on the same page. And if you're so busy trying to avoid an emotion, your brain is going to be on a different wave than your heart. Okay. So your heart's over here like, man, I really want to feel this pain. This hurts. I'm frustrated. I'm embarrassed. I'm humiliated, whatever that is. And your brain is like, it's okay. Just go make yourself a cocktail and forget it. Right. And so your brain and heart are not on the same page because your heart's like, I really need to feel this. But I'm going to be honest, and the research is there, so you can look it up for yourself. If you identify and label your emotions, it helps reduce the intensity of your feelings. So the minute I started feeling that and beating myself up for years of, you know, mistakes and going back to the fact like, man, maybe you're not as good a mom as you thought, okay? Because I pride myself on how great of a mom I am, but you guys, I've made some horrendous mistakes and it's trauma that my kids are going to have to face. But I go back to that emotion, okay? So I let myself acknowledge like the shame. There's a lot of shame with that. There's shame when you make mistakes as a parent and you take responsibility and you own up to that. There's shame. So I labeled that emotion. I'm like, wow, you're really feeling a lot of shame. You're feeling a lot of regret. And I talked about those emotions out loud. I continuously was telling my husband, like, I'm just feeling this, you know, and I would talk to him. He'd be like, okay, you're just feeling this. It's this, you know, but it definitely reduced the intensity of being able to label it and put it out there. Okay. So it helps you better regulate your emotions, including all of them. Okay. The ones linked to guilt and shame, this will help you process that. And as far as taking responsibility for your actions, okay, it's more than just putting the past behind you and moving on. So this wasn't one of those things that you say, oh, I'm sorry. And then you just move on. You have to face what you've done or what's happened. And that's the first step of self-forgiveness. And it's the hardest, okay? Because what we're going to do as humans is we're going to make excuses. We're going to rationalize. We're going to justify. And we're going to try to make it acceptable. But that's bullshit, okay? So I want you guys to understand, if you are making excuses, if you're rationalizing, if you're justifying shit, fuck off, okay? That's not the way to deal with life. And that is not taking massive responsibility. And that's what we're doing here, taking massive responsibility for who we are with our human experience. We're owning our shit, not justifying bullshit. Okay. That's it. If you fuck up, you just have to say it. You fucked up. Taking responsibility and accepting that you've engaged in actions that have hurt yourself or others, you avoid more negative emotions like excessive regret and guilt, right? So once you're going to have that come to Jesus talk with yourself and totally own your shit without justifying it, okay? I'm sorry could just be, I'm sorry. You don't say, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm sorry, but, or whatever, because you just void out that sorry. That's not what we do. You've got to confront your actions and show remorse 100%, but it's important to approach that with self-compassion, okay? Try to not be so self-critical and be compassionate while still acknowledging that you made a mistake and you want to do better. Okay. I really had to lean into this. I shut everything out. I came into my own and I just sat with God in those moments of like understanding. I just have to be, I have to be because I keep looking back. I keep looking back. I put up a post on my Facebook and I think it, I mean, it obviously, you know, touched a lot of people that could relate to the experience. But when in the Bible, Lot's wife looked back, the only rule was don't look back. God gave her one rule or she was going to die with everybody else. Don't look back. And she did. And I feel like I knew that I was doing that. I was looking back. I was being hard on myself. I was being self-critical. I was being judgmental. I was being just, nobody's going to beat me up like I beat me up. No one. Like, bitch, you could say whatever you want to me. Trust me, I've said worse to myself. Okay. There is no one in the world that could break me as much as I break myself ever. And I think that's true for all of us. We talk about so-and-so hurt us, but do we ever talk about how we're hurting ourselves? Do we ever talk about that? Because that should be a conversation that we're having. Okay. You've got to treat yourself with kindness that you would show another person. Looking back hardens your heart. That's it. And it's like a slow death. It's a slow death because you're depressed, because you start overcoming yourself with all the feelings of regret. I had to lean into that and literally was like, all right, God, I'm done. I'm not looking back. I'm not ready to look forward. I'm just going to be in this moment. I'm going to be in this moment. I'm going to process these feelings and I'm going to come out of this better. And I wouldn't say better because there's still just that little, there's still a little cloud lingering. Okay. And I'm acknowledging it. I'm acknowledging that there is a little cloud. And I think it's one of those things of like time. The cloud will dissipate with time. It will. I genuinely wholeheartedly believe that. It's the conversation with God is like, hey, I feel that cloud. And I just need you to give me the strength to continue, even though I know it needs to be there. Okay. Storms come in our life. What's the truth? They don't stay. They might last a couple of days. And this one needs to last a couple of days. I get that. But there's still a little cloud and it's lingering. But I am treating myself with that kindness and compassion. There's, you know, no more beating myself up with the guilt and the regret. What's going to happen is the time. I just have to prove I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to make the same mistake. And time proves that. I can't promise anybody what's going to happen in the future. I could just show with my actions, right? Words are cheap. And then expressing remorse for your mistakes. You know, when you've done something wrong, it's completely normal, even healthy, to feel guilty about it. Okay. Those feelings serve as a springboard to that positive behavior. And guilt implies that you're a good person who did something bad. Shame makes you see yourself as a bad person. So I really want you to be aware. This is that awareness of your emotions, awareness of your feeling. I don't want you to bring up those feelings of worthlessness, okay? Because if you do not resolve that, you're going to go down a rabbit hole of trying to fill the void, okay? You're starting to feel not worthy. You're going to, you know, tap into those drugs. You're going to be trying to mask it with alcohol. You're going to, and that's what I've always done. I've always masked my feelings and that feeling of worthlessness. I've used alcohol, you know, abusively. So in my life, and again, thank you, microdose, because that is no longer the truth in my life. I am not depending on substances to make me feel some kind of way. Understanding that making mistakes that you feel guilty about doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't undermine your intrinsic value. You're whole. It's okay. People mess up. That's it. It's a very humbling experience. And I think that's important for us to feel that. I think there was a level that I needed to feel this because there's trauma in the lives of my kids that we have not talked about. We haven't. And because I'm on this journey of healing and changing, it's something I push really far away because I'm like, well, I'm not that same person, but I didn't realize there's a point where I have to understand that I may not be the same person, but that person still existed for my kids. And that is something they are going to have to deal with when they come into that awareness of like, oh my God, mom was a drunk. Mom was stupid, right? Like they're going to come into that awareness of themselves. And that doesn't mean I'm going back to being that person. It doesn't mean that I have to make myself feel worthless, because what's the truth? The truth is I came out of it. I snapped out of it. I changed my life around. I stopped using alcohol for all of my feelings. Okay. That's the truth, but it doesn't take away the pain that I caused or the trauma or the experience they had with me in that season of my life. Making amends, it's an important part of forgiveness, even when the person you're forgiving is yourself. Okay. So you might not forgive someone until they made it up to you. Forgiving yourself is more likely to stick when you feel like you have earned it. So one way to move past guilt is to take action to rectify your mistakes, right? That's something, you know, I knew that I had a toxic relationship with alcohol. So I had to take responsibility for that. I had to take action, which is like not doing it like I was, right? And then apologize. Apologize if it's called for. Look for ways that you can make it up to whoever you have hurt. And if it seems like this portion of the process benefits only the person you've harmed, there's something in it for you as well, because fixing your mistakes means you're never going to have to wonder if you've done more. And literally, you guys, everyone makes mistakes. They have things that they feel sorry or regretful for. Falling into that trap of self-hate or self-pity is damaging, and it makes it difficult to maintain any sort of self-esteem and motivation. Forgiving yourself requires finding a way to learn from the experience and grow. So I am always that person that looks at something bad and know, I know this is like part of God's DNA that's ingrained in me. I know that everything works out for me. Okay. It was never a lesson against me. It was for some level of growth. It was for some protection. Everything, every situation, I can say, I know God had a hand in this and this needed to happen. It needed to happen. And I will always find the truth of the better reason. Okay. That's it. Learn the lesson. And sometimes you have to understand maybe why you behave the way you did, why you feel guilty. How can you prevent the same, you know, behaviors again? You might have messed up, but it's a learning process to make better choices. Okay. Forgiving yourself means making an active effort to do better in the future. Reflect on how you feel about past mistakes as you're approaching similar situations. Okay. Instead of feeling guilty about the past errors, remind yourself about what you learned and how you can use that knowledge and experience to guide your actions moving forward. Self-forgiveness is a powerful practice. It's important to recognize that, you know, it's not intended for people who are unfairly blaming themselves for something they're not responsible for, like people who have suffered abuse, trauma, loss. You probably feel guilt and shame, even though, you know, you had no control of that. So I understand you have to forgive yourself. You have to start being gentle with yourself, okay? Forgiveness gives you a number of benefits. That's mental, physical, all of it. The act of forgiveness is huge. Having compassionate and forgiving attitude towards yourself, this is important if you're going to have any successful relationships, okay? And that means even me with my kids, if I'm acknowledging mistakes I've made as a parent in the past, I have to forgive myself, or I am not going to forge a great relationship. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall and tell myself, I'll justify it every day. And I'll say, you know what? I was a terrible parent. They deserve better than me. There's no point in trying to have a close relationship because I just made too many mistakes. I made too many mistakes. I'm not going to forgive myself, and I'm going to keep building this wall. And then I'm just not available to them on any level, rather than knowing that I own my shit and forgiving myself. Then I can handle it when they're ready to talk about these things. And I want them to. I want them to not hold these things in, because I can relate to what their experience is now. I mean, I'm a sober bartender, okay? And I can assure you, being around intoxicated people is not a great time. It's not a great time. It messes with my fight or flight, okay? There are just some people I can't be around when they're drinking. And I'm sure I was that person for my kids. And that just came, it just comes full circle. So absolutely, I am going to keep moving forward with a little more gentle hand. I wanted to punish myself last week, and I sure did. I sure did, but I moved past it. We are back on track, you guys. Microdose Monday, okay? Can we talk about psilocybin? There are so many bills out for this to be legalized or decriminalized, all of the things, because we have a right to plants, okay? We have a right to nature. If you are looking into microdosing, you need to message me. Okay. Message me on Facebook, whatever it is. I had a couple people tell me, give me your contacts. That is something I'm not going to do. Okay. I'm going to protect my sources 100% with all that I am. So asking me that question and not responding, you're not going to get results. Okay. I will continue to play middleman. I'm not giving out any sources, but I will direct and guide you to something very trustworthy, whatever that experience is going to be for you. But I'm also going to help you through the process. You have unlimited access because I'm here doing it with you, where I can help you through the process. I just, even you guys, my nervous system was definitely, my nervous system has been rocked. Okay. I totally rocked it. My kid keeps texting me and it's just messing up the podcast. I feel like, hold on, I'm recording a podcast. Hold on, please. I'm recording a podcast. Okay. So now I just totally lost my train of thought. I couldn't even hear myself because the phone is just dinging, dinging, dinging constantly in my headphones. I don't know. And it's on my computer. It's just connected everywhere. That's the good part about Apple, right? Is like all my shit, no matter what room I'm in, there's a device that I can get on and I can check stuff. I can do whatever I need to do. Honestly, bitch, I was talking about my nervous system. I took it through the ringer. Literally, it took a beating. I was in fight or flight for about 4 days straight. Okay. That is not something people should experience. Our human body is not meant to be in fight or flight for days on end at all. My first microdose just brought me back. It was like a warm hug, a nice, you know, I needed it. And I didn't microdose at all last week. I did not. Because I didn't want to feel good. I didn't think I was worthy of feeling good. And I knew the minute I microdosed that I would feel okay and I would stop beating myself up. And honestly, I needed to go a couple rounds in the ring with myself. I needed to let myself feel that emotion because it was there. It existed. There was guilt. There was shame. There was regret. There were so many things. And if I would have microdosed, I would have just been like, oh, regret. I release you. I wanted to feel bad. I needed to feel bad for a minute. That was my lesson. I had to hit rock bottom and I did. So my nervous system, I just want to say, like, the minute I microdosed, it just went back to its peaceful state. I'm back to just, you know, doing the things again. I'm out of bed. I am having conversations, doing the things. I'm back at it. And it was definitely, it was challenging. It was great. It was much needed. I needed the lesson. I needed the awareness of what my kids could be experiencing or have experienced with the previous Brandon Lynette. And if you are currently like making mistakes with your kids, honestly, the best thing you could do right now is just to own it. Take that massive responsibility. Or if you have something going on in your life where you know you need to just forgive yourself, it's a very important journey. I think more important than forgiving other people. And I feel like even my clients that I've worked with that have been through, you know, sexual abuse situations, they have that guilt and shame when it wasn't even their fault, right? It wasn't their fault. None of it was their fault, but they still have that forgiving yourself for that and not taking the responsibility of like, people are fucked. You cannot control other humans at all. People are messed up and it's not your fault that that happened to you. But that regret and that shame is a common trait in all of those experiences. You have to learn to release that. That means you see the emotion, you know, label it, let it become alive, let it flow through your body as much or as little as it needs to so that you can truly let it go, because that's it. Your emotions just need like the 5 minutes of fame. They need to be heard. They need to be seen. Imagine each emotion is just a little kid throwing a tantrum. Once the tantrum's over, you know, I bring my kid here to me and I hug her and I love her. And I'm like, you feel better, baby. That was rough. You had big feelings. So all of my feelings are like little kids throwing a tantrum. I let them throw the tantrum and then I come and I embrace them. And I'm like, I still love you guys because we are equal parts of dark and light. God didn't bring out the sun to shine 24 hours a day. Without the darkness, we don't appreciate the light. And without falling, we never appreciate the fact we can walk. We take so much for granted, and it's these things that happen that bring us back to the human experience, bring us back to what we should be expressing and feeling and living and creating. And I think that's a gift. I'll find the good in any situation. I promise you that. I've done it my whole life, and it could be like a trauma response, a survival skill, but it's a great fucking skill, and I love it because it releases the burden of worry, questions. I understand God is in control. He's got this. So whatever's happening in my life is happening for me. It's not happening to me. All of it. And sometimes it's of my own creation, and it is a matter of just owning that and taking responsibility. And the things will happen when I'm trying to take control, when I'm trying to not let God handle it, and I'm trying to force situations, I always learn the hard way, but I learn. I was trying to control the narrative, and that was not my job. It was not my job. I love you guys. We're going to have an amazing week. The journal prompts are pre-recorded for the Facebook group. If you are in my Listen Bitch Facebook group, I have been inspired. My husband asked me why. I was like, I'm starting a new Bible study. And the reason I'm doing this is I love doing devotions with my kids. I really do. I love like all their different little points of view, their experience. Like I do love that. I love it, but I need a grown-up experience. And I'm still not ready for church, you guys. I'm not ready for church. I'm not ready for organized religion. I'm not saying I never will be. I'll never say never on anything because I never know. But, you know, I'm not ready for that. But I am ready to have an adult experience, adult conversations about how God moves in our life. So I am writing up a new course for us, and it is Bible study for a badass. Okay. So we're just going to literally from the Bible. Okay. We're not getting religious. We are not trying to, you know, talk about rights and wrongs and politics when it comes to the Bible 100%. So we're just keeping it strictly the word. But if you are interested in that, make sure you hit me up on Facebook, be in the Listen Bitch group, because I'll probably share some of that stuff in there. But I would love to have you guys there. I feel like it's going to be a great experience. We're going to get to at least once a week. I would like to meet once a week, you know, where we can pray with each other, pray over each other, and just talk about the Bible. Okay. I need a refresher course because I like to be knowledgeable to answer the questions my kids have, and I need a recourse. I have read the Bible more than once, but it's a big book, you guys. So I definitely need a review. So if you want to be in Bible study for a badass, make sure you hit me up. Let me know. I'll get you in there. I want to really have it going before December. Okay. But this is me. Like, I need to write curriculum. We need to have a flow. We need to understand, like, what is our goal? What are we going to focus on? I think it would be kind of cheesy to just bounce into Revelations because everyone's doing that now because it's the end of the world, right? All this unrest, people are just like, he's coming. Well, I don't like starting shit out with fear. Okay. I don't want people to want to study the Bible because they're scared. I want us to do this out of love, just the intention of love and just growing into what he has promised us, growing into ourselves. So there's that Bible study for a badass. And who knows, I might save the episodes and turn it into a podcast too, because I think that would be magical. And this is kind of my way too of, I've been sitting with that embarrassment and that guilt and that shame of taking my clients through these steps of, you know, going outside of your body. I do think that it's important to acknowledge that we're spiritual creatures, but we're not meant to communicate with other spirits. Like, that is not, we were not meant to do that. Okay. We chose a human experience. We made this pact with God when we came here. Like, I want the human experience. That means you mind your business and you stay in your body. Okay. I'm not meant to be out there talking to other people. Or, you know, I used to think, man, I really want to try ayahuasca, right? No, all these people are just talking about demons haunting them. And I think that's real. And I think that, you know, my entire time of working with, you know, my energy coach and all these things, like, I'm still processing that guilt because I brought it into other people of just like opening up, you know, communication lines to others and being able to feel other energy that is not human. Do I think we have guardian angels? 100%. Was I using that to justify what I was doing? Absolutely. Cause I'm like, oh, it's my guardian angels that I'm talking to. It's okay. It's safe. Everything's fine. No, nope. I am meant to talk to humans, not to other spirits. Right. So let's build our relationship with people before we worry about talking to, you know, ghosts and aliens. You know what I mean? Like, our business is here. Our business is the human experience. Let me have conversations with my kids before I'm trying to dive into 10 years of, you know, or 10 decades of ancestry, hundreds, centuries of ancestries. Let me see what they say. Let me talk about my past lives. No, why don't we focus on our current life? Okay. So anyway, me wanting to just kind of grow in this experience is me taking action in a step to forgiving myself for just influencing people in the wrong direction. You know, my website's still messed up. It's going to be another thing I have to fix, but you know, pulling cards for people and just doing these things when really I just need to pray with them. Have a real conversation about real life in this moment. You don't need a card or a horoscope to tell you what's coming. You're going to create this because you are going to have the power of God with you, beside you, and forever a part of you. So let's move in that spirit. Okay. Let's move in that energy. I love that we are spiritual beings. I love that, you know, we have the power to do magical things like heal our bodies and, you know, heal our souls and just come into this love. Like, we are promised joy and peace. Even in this moment on earth, we get that chance. We have to create it and we have to go willingly and we have to mind our business. And I'm working on it, you guys, the steps I'm taking to forgive myself. So, I mean, confessing my shame on a podcast, that's kind of a big deal. I remember my friend Rhonda just posted a post today and I shared it, but I remember when I first got excited about reading cards, I called her, and I think it was me, like a self-preservation part of me. It was God drew me to her because she is like the best Christian lady I know. Okay. And I called her and I was like, let me read your cards, Rhonda. She's like, oh no, girl, we're not opening that door. Right. She is not opening that door because she knows Jesus will whoop her ass. Okay. And I should have known at that moment. And you know, I'm going to call her and I'm going to have this conversation with her. I don't think she listens to my podcast, but she has to listen to this episode because I talked about her. But yeah, she was like, Brandon, no, girl. And I didn't listen. So for 2 years, I just went full ham. And I'm going to tell you guys, like, stuff happened to me. It happened to my body. There were times where I thought I was dying, honestly. And I just felt I was opening portals I was not meant to open. I saw things in my mind I wasn't meant to see. It was just a whole, you know, really, I was scared for a long time. I mean, terrified. Like, I had to be in the cold ass shower, like having panic attacks in the middle of nowhere. Just it was crazy. So I'm bringing that back. And I think the best action to take is to, you know, shine the light a little brighter, expand my reach a little further. And I think there are a lot of people that are out there that really do just want to feel closer to God. And how do we do that? Maybe you're not ready for church either. You know, I get that. I am never say never, but girl, I'm not ready. I'm not ready because I feel very, the church hurt me, you know, it wasn't God. So I never veered from that, but definitely I saw some truth and it sucks because I feel like I see it in all the churches and you can't unsee that. So I feel like, why not build my own community of people that are just looking for the truth? We have no agenda. This is going to be free. You don't have to pay any money. It's, you know what I mean? Like, let's just build a community. Let's build a community. So anyway, all right, you guys, have a great night. I will see you tomorrow.